Vedantadindimastatvam, Vedantadindimastatvam, Ekamudghoshayantiyat, Astam Purastat Tattejaha, Astam Purastat Tattejaha, Dakshinamurti Sagnitam. Okay, next time we'll just chant together. Now we're on verse 6. Is that right? Verse 6, the Samashti. Samashti Vyashti Rupau Dwau. Samashti Vyashti Rupau Dwau. Padarthau Sarva Sammatau. Padarthau Sarva Sammatau. Samashti Rishwaro Vyashtihi. Samashti Rishwaro Vyashtihi. Jivo Vedanta Dindimaha. Jivo Vedanta Dindimaha. Samashti Vyashti Rupau Dwau Padarthau Sarva Sammatau. Samashtihi Ishwaraha Vyashtihi Jivaha Vedanta Dindimaha. Okay? Here's our Samashti and Vyashti. Okay? So there's Dwau Padarthau, two Padarthas, there's two things, two categories, two things, which are Sarva Sammatau, these are dual, right, because they're two Padarthas, which are, Sammata means to be accepted or acknowledged. They're acknowledged by everyone. These two Padarthas, these two things, these two categories are Sarva Sammatau. They're agreed upon, they're accepted by everybody. What are they? The one in the Samashti Rupa, the you could say one Padartha which is in the form of or whose rupa, whose form is the Samashti, the whole. The Vyashti is the part. So Samashti, Vyashti is part of the whole. Okay? So the Samashti Rupa and the Vyashti Rupa. There's these two Padarthas. One is the Samashti Rupa, one is the Vyashti Rupa. Or you can say there's two Padarthas. One is in the form of the Samashti, one Padartha is in the form of the Vyashti. Okay? So Rupa, when it's at the end of a compound, it can mean whose nature is or in the form of, or it can just mean the Rupa itself. But it has a different meaning. You could say in the form of the Vyashti, in the form of the Samashti, whose nature is Samashti, whose nature is Vyashti, or who, or the one who's the Samashti Rupa, the form, the total form, or the Vyashti Rupa, the part, the parts of the whole. Okay. You see what I'm saying there? Okay, so here we have these two Padarthas, Samashti and Vyashti. Now it says, Samashtihi Ishwaraha. The Samashti, the whole, is Ishwara. The Vyashti is Jiva. Samashtihi Ishwaraha, Vyashtihi Jivaha, all nominatives. The Samashti is Ishwara, the Vyashti is the Jiva. So, Swamiji will say the Samashti, the Maya, the Samashti Upadhi is a Maya. The Maya Samashti Upadhi is Ishwara. The Samashti Upadhi is of Maya is Ishwara. It's a total Upadhi, right? The Vyashti Upadhi of Maya is the Jiva. So Samashti Vyashti, these terms are, we have to know them. Samashti Upadhi is Ishwara, the Vyashti Upadhi is Jiva. You can bring in the word Upadhi there, is what I'm saying. Is that clear? So here all he's saying is the Samashti is Ishwara, the Vyashti is Jiva. Vedanta Vindimaha. This is the proclamation of the Vedanta. Any problem? Kiki, you okay with it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Easy to put
that
in our sentences.
I know. Doesn't that make you feel good?
Yeah.
Because the Bhandarka sentences are hard. Mm-hmm. Now you get the break now. Jnana karma padarthau dwau. Jnana karma padarthau dwau. Vastukartrat matantrakau. Jnanan moksho nakarma pihar. jnanan moksho nakarmabhyah iti vedanta dindimah iti vedanta dindimah. Jnana, karma, padarthau, dwau. Vastu, kartra, ra, right? Vastu, kartra, atma, tantrakau. Jnanat, mokshaha, na karma pyaha. Iti vedanta dindimaha. Two padarthas, padartha dwell, jnana karma padartha dwell. Well, there's two categories, jnana and karma, knowledge and karma, right? Knowledge and action, or knowledge and ritual, knowledge and, let's just keep karma as karma, jnana and karma. Then what does it say about jnana and karma? Vastu. Now when we say vastu, the vastu is the thing in itself. But the word vastu means literally in just day-to-day parlance, a thing. Like, this is a vastu, this is vastu, this is vastu, this is vastu. Any object is a vastu, any thing is a vastu. The vastu resolves in the end into Brahman, because really there's no vastu. When we analyze all of these objects, you find out, well, there really isn't one. It's just a name for a conglomerate. That's why Swamiji always says this, namni, namani, in the name, namni from naman, locative singular, namni, in the name, namani. There are names and in the name there are more names, right? The names in name, names in the name. So like that, in every, what we call a vastu upon analysis, it's just a name that's comprised of many names. Or an object is comprised of smaller objects. That's the idea. So there is no real vastu. But then, just in common parlance, we say vastu is a thing. In Vedanta, the vastu will be Brahman. Okay? But so here, what we're saying here, is, so vastu means the thing in itself, which can refer to the thing in itself, like the object, which we'll all talk about that in a minute, or as Brahman. And kartra means the karta, the doer, the agent. The jiva is the karta, right? Brahman is the vastu. So here, when we say atma tantra, tantrika, that baka is for a bahuvahi. When we say tantra, like if we say something is vastu tantra, we say, this is kind of technical term, jnanam, knowledge, is vastu tantra. It's dependent on the object, right? The knowledge is dependent on the object. It's vastu tantra, right? Because any knowledge, it has to be true to the object. So for knowledge to be knowledge, it totally depends upon the object. The knowledge itself has to be true to the object. So jnanam is vastu tantra. It depends upon the object. Whereas karma is kartra tantra. It depends on the karta. It's the karta that does the karma. Right? So karma is dependent on the karta. Whereas jnanam is dependent upon the thing, whatever that thing is. The knowledge itself has to be true to the thing. Okay? So here we say, these two categories, jnana and karma, are mutually, one is dependent for its nature on the vastu. Atma, you can say it's dependent for its nature on the vastu, or it is dependent for its atma, means for its nature on the kartra, on the karta. Karta is nominative singular, kartra is the substantive. So these two padarthas, jnana and karma, are dependent on the vastu and dependent upon the agent. So jnanam is dependent on the vastu, right? And karma is dependent upon the agent, the jiva, really. Okay? Everybody see it? That tantra, that's an important word, and this term vastu tantra, understanding jnanam as vastu tantra, being dependent on the vastu, is really important, because jnanam is moksha, right? Mm-hmm. That is what moksha is. And so jnana is dependent upon the vastu. And for there to be moksha, the vastu has to be liberated. Right? So jnana is moksha. Jnana doesn't change or bring about any type of change. It just removes ignorance. And so that jnana is vastu tantra is very important because it removes the karta or any type of karma from moksha. You understand?
So tantra means dependent.
Dependent on.
Okay.
It depends
not
on.
Not device or not device, not meaning.
No.
Not the other meaning of it.
Yeah. No, it depends on, dependent on.
Okay.
Yeah. There are a lot of other meanings for tantra. Okay, but this is a common one in this context. So then, next sentence it says, jnana mokshaha. Liberation is from knowledge. Na karma bhya, not from karmas. Right? Ablative. Both ablatives. One's in the plural, one's in the singular. Mokshaha, jnana, mokshaha, na karma bhya. Moksha is from knowledge, not from karmas. Everybody see? Hiti Vedanta Dindimaha, the proclamation of Vedanta. Jnana karma siddhartha dwa, vastu kartha matantrakao. Jnana moksho na karma biha iti vedanta dindimaha. Okay? Shrotavyashravya rupadva padartau sukha dukkadau shrotavyam brahmanai vanyat iti vedanta dindimaha shrotavya ashravya rupau dwau padartau sukha dukkadau shrotavyam brahma na eva anyat iti vedanta dindimaha. Okay. Shrotavya, that which is to be heard, is a potential participle. Do you remember now that there's five forms of potential participle? Remember when we went through that?
Mm-hmm.
So here you have one. Shrotavya and the ya, ashravya. That ya, right, from shru, takes riddhi, takes the ya. Shru becomes shrav plus ya, shravya. So you've got shrotavya and shravya. They're both different. Of those five forms, those are two forms of the potential participle. Okay? One is shrotavya, the next one is ashravya. He could have said shrotavya, ashrotavya, but he didn't. He just used two different potential forms. Okay? So shrotavya, ashravya rupau. There are two padarthas, dwal padartha. One is in the form of shrotavya, that which is to be heard, should be heard, is to be heard. And ashravya, that which shouldn't be heard, you know, is not why. So there's the shrotavya, wait. Yeah, he says, one worth listening to. Well, that's right. It is to be listened to. So it's potential. It's worthy of listening to. And the other is ashravya. It's not worthy. It shouldn't be listened to. It's not worthy. It's not to be listened to. Why? Sukha dukkha dal. They are givers. Remember if you have that da affix.
Mm-hmm.
At the end it comes from da. It's in the dal. It's dual because of dual padartha.
Mm-hmm.
They give happiness and sorrow. Sukha and dukkha. What is to be listened to, worthy of listening to, is that which is a giver, dao, you know, the giver of sukha. That which is ashravya, not worthy of listening to. Why? It's dukkha da. Everybody clear on this da affix?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually a type of compound where you take a verbal root. I forget if there's a particular name for it. I don't remember the name right now. It's a verbal form of a verbal root is added on to the end of a noun. Like da becomes da, Ji is one, Janja, Nya, Nya Sarva Gnyaha, Sarva Vit, right? Sarva Vit comes from Vid, Sarva Gnyaha comes from Nya, Indra Jit comes from Ji, to conquer. So there's a whole list of verbs that take a form, reduced form in a sense, and are added on to the end of a noun. Okay, so this is what he's doing here. Sukha dukkha is a dwandra compound, right? And they are givers of sukha and dukkha. So shrotavya is going to give sukha, and ashravya is going to give dukkha. Okay. Then it says shrotavya. What is worthy of listening to? Shrotavya is Brahman. Na eva anyat, not the other. Not indeed anyat, the other. Not the other. What's the other? Is ashravya, that which gives sorrow. It's not worth, you know, listening to. Let's do one more, just because these are the only ones I've read. Are you okay for that? Chincha chincha padartha dwau. Chincha chincha padartha dwau. Vishranti shranti shranti dayakau. Vishranti shranti dayakau. Chintyam brahma parananyat. Chintyam brahma parananyat. Iti vedanta dindimaha. Iti vedanta dindimaha. Chintya, that chintya means that, again, potential participle. Here they're the same, right? Chintya, achintya, potential participle. That which is worthy of your contemplation. Chintya. Achintya, not worthy of your contemplation. Chintya, achintya, padartha, tva. So there's these two padarthas, chintya and achintya, one worthy of contemplation, that which is not worthy of contemplation. Why? Vishranti, shranti, dayaka. Dayaka means get that which is gives. So dayakal. One gives vishranti. Vishranti means relaxation. Shranti means work. Have to do it. One gets repose, the vishranti, it gets the repose, and the other exhaustion. Yeah. Exhaustion is good. Shranti means, you know, you've worked, you're tired, your body's exhausted. Vishranti means that exhaustion removes it. The V is vigata. It takes away, you know, that tiredness. Whereas the other is just tiredness, exhaustion, being worn out, is shranti. So that which is to be thought about and contemplated upon gives vishranti. That which shouldn't be thought about or contemplated on is what is a giver of shranti, exhaustion. Okay? Chintyam, so then what? Chintyam Brahman. Brahman deserves your contemplation. Param na anyat, not the other. But not the other. Oh, he says, takes param, is that word? Param Brahman Supreme, he takes param can mean but also. Chintyam Brahma Param, Supreme Brahman, the Brahman which is Param, is chintyam, is worthy of contemplation, na anyat, not the other.
In all of these padarthas, padarthas being used to mean categories, is not the essential meaning of the word, like a padartha.
It can mean either. You know, he's taking it as category, but really the padartha is the thing that the word refers to. Mm-hmm. And so if you're just saying padartha, then, you know, you don't have to translate it. Mm-hmm. Because it's the actual thing in itself that the word's referring to. Right. Yeah.
When you were talking about the suffix that you added to the in the previous verse to sukha dukkha, da?
Yeah.
The suffix is da, then, right?
Yes, da, da. And it comes from da. Mm-hmm. It, when you put the suffix on, it's shorter to da.
So you put it on a noun.
Yeah, you can put it on a noun or a compound, and it means that which gives.
Okay.
Whatever, like sukkada. Sukkadaha is a giver of sukha. Dukkadaha,
okay.
Giver of dukkha. And I listed a few others, roots like that are really common, like nya, mm-hmm. to know, janja, to be born,
okay.
would become ja. Mm-hmm. Nya becomes nya. Jen Jot becomes Ja, to be born, to be produced. Da is, you know, Da is means to give,
right,
becomes Da.
Okay.
Vid, to know, becomes Vit.
Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, and I don't know, in some of these books, if we look it up, there'll be a list of it, like 10 really common.
There's like a 10.
There's more, but I mean, you'll probably see a list of around 10 that are really, really common verbal endings, and you'll find it in the compound section, which I for some reason
but
I can't remember.
You say verbal endings, but they're attached.
They're verbs that are attached to a noun and then declined as a noun.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
The
but then when you break it down, say, like for instance, you would say sukadaha.
Mm-hmm.
What that? Then you do that with the vigraha of it. You break it down, sukandadati.
Mm-hmm.
Right. When you do a vigraha of a compound, like with a dvandva compound, if you say sukaduka,
mm-hmm,
sukadukau, sukam cha dukam cha. That's
mm-hmm
the vigraha. But if you do the vigraha, the breaking apart of a compound that ends in one of these verbs, then you actually reconstitute the verb.
Mm-hmm.
Sukadaha means sukam dadati, the one who gives sukha. That he gives sukha.
Yeah.
Yaha, you know, the one he who gives sukha, he is a sukadaha.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.